Welcome to Taking the Reins by the Horns, a podcast that takes current affairs out of current affairs. This is a podcast in partnership with Sowetan Live. I'm your host, Rems Mabote. South Africa is alive with possibilities. I mean, who would have imagined a former president in jail, a sitting president sleeping on cash, literally, a cabinet minister visiting a common prisoner in jail, or even the post office operating even when they have nothing to do?
Can you confirm that delivery performances dropped?
Welcome to the new Sowetan Live podcast called Taking the Rems by the Horns with me, Rems Mabote. Each week, I will be taking a lighter look at very serious topics that half the time drive you up the wall. This podcast will use humor to take no prisoners, have no holy cows, and cook a whole lot of sacrificial lambs.
So a sign where it's written president. And then I then sign where the act has to be assented to.
With this, President Cyril Ramaphosa signed the National Health Insurance into law on Wednesday, thus finally delivering on what the ANC promised in 1955 when it adopted the Freedom Charter. There shall be health for all. It does not matter when exactly the NHI will finally be implemented. The president, in his own words, finally found his missing pen, which was the source of his delay to signing the bill into law. With that, he promised South Africa a Rolls-Royce health service for all. When asked for his comment and responding to accusations that this move by the president was pure electioneering by the ANC, Labour and Employment Minister Thulasi Ncesi was affronted. No, he was offended. He was livid. And he made it known in no uncertain terms.
The myth that we're electioneering in the shorts is short-sighted and historically inaccurate. Government continues its work right up to the 28th of May and then hands the baton to the next administration. You see, this thing that it's an electioneering scheme by Ramaphosa and so on, it's nonsense. If I may ask one of you, what is the right time to implement a jobs program? Is there any right time?
Ncesi was joined by the uber-enthusiastic Khumbuzo Ntshavheni, minister in the presidency and cabinet spokesperson. The first talking Ntshavheni was quick to remind us that the government would never compromise elections at the altar of expediency.
There's nobody who's going to intimidate South Africans. There will be free and fair elections in this country. We'll protect it with all we have.
If it were not tragic, it would definitely be laughable. But as it turns out, it was more than the president who found his pen to sign on important legislation or action to be taken by his government, conveniently and coincidentally, just about 2 weeks to the seventh general elections on May 29. In fact, just before the president signed the NHI bill, his Justice Minister Ronald Lamola found his own pen and finally approved the recommendation of the National Prosecuting Authority to authorize the investigation into the death of former ANC President Chief Albert Luthuli. Except this was a little late. Luthuli died in 1967, and it was not exactly a secret to the ANC that the Nobel Peace Prize laureate had died in questionable circumstances. And out of the blue, not sure exactly what would have compelled him, Lamola found his courage and pen and authorized this investigation. You have to admit, this is quite revolutionary. the ANC leads. Luthuli's family was not as madly enthusiastic as me, though. Grateful though they were that they were finally heard, even if 57 years later, they thought this move was, wait for it, late.
It's bitter in the sense that it has taken a long time. And in our view, it didn't have to take this long. And we've been at this for more than 25 years. And in that time period, you know, some of the people who are implicated in the murder of Chief Luthuli have died, you know. And so, you know, we probably won't see full justice. So that is the bitter part of it. But overall, we are pleased.
But unbeknown to you, the ANC found its pair this week and decided to pen into law few other commitments of the Freedom Charter made a mere 70 years ago. Indeed, quality takes time. Straight after the president's announcement, he was followed by our ever-energetic Basic Education Minister Angie Motshekga, who sent out a memorandum to Parliament announcing that all education would be free henceforth. The minister went beyond her area of responsibility and said that she was seriously considering making her decision to also include private education. As you can imagine, this got the private sector and the opposition hot under the collar, and they immediately demanded that Motshekga must apologize for her threat. Not our Minister Motshekga. She would have none of that.
What apology for what? Apology for what?
Say it out loud, Minister, for those at the back. What apology for? Another promise that the ANC made in the Freedom Charter was that of eradicating poverty, something that has eluded the ruling party for the past 30 years. But that is a thing of the past. Social Development Minister Lindiwe Zulu was another one who found her pen and finally wrote poverty out of the statutes of the country when she willed that each unemployed person with immediate effect would get basic income grant of at least 3,500 rand. She said, I quote, "The ANC is a government of the people. And it is about time that we made sure that not only us in government eat, it is time for everyone to eat. If it means that we finish the money of the country, so be it. At least we would have distributed the wealth of this country as the founding fathers of our movement promised in Kliptown." Close quote. When told that the opposition would gingerly oppose her and even take her to court if needs be, Zulu was quick to quip.
Chairperson, point of order. My name is Lindiwe Daphne Zulu. The one who refers to me, Ginger, the ginger shall be outside.
Okay. The battle lines are drawn. Electricity Minister Kgosi Ntsura Mokgopa was not to be outdone. He announced that the ANC government will also, immediately when the seventh administration takes over, switch off Soweto from the grid for non-payment of electricity. Ramakgopa, who was full of praise for his government's uninterrupted power supply for more than a month, said the only way this would be sustained beyond electioneering proportions is if they recouped billions owed to Eskom by more than 2 million Sowetans. Asked in an impromptu media interview, the man they call Sputla said,
"In the context of the anger, which is highly I acknowledge and understood, there's an appreciation of the kind of progress that is done."
The government is angry and could not be bothered anymore by the anger this will yield from the people of Soweto. But of all decisions the ANC took, there is one that is likely to cause a huge upheaval, if not an outright war. After many years of dilly-dallying around the matter, the party finally decided it will change the constitution to allow for land expropriation without compensation. Minister of Agriculture and Land Reform Toko Tidiza was at pains how she battled to get to her pen to sign on this decision by the party. Tidiza, who is a darling of the farming community, said this decision was the most difficult for her since 2006, when she agreed to stand for the position of mayor of the city of Tshwane. But in her own words, the ANC leads. Although the mostly Afrikaner farming community and organizations such as AfriForum are expected to be angered by this, most surprisingly, the economic freedom fighters were the most vocal opponents of this law and were first to dismiss the ANC's decision. EFF leader Julius Malema did not mince his words.
He's adamant that their approach is a means of restoring people's dignity.
Expropriation of land without compensation. The ANC used it as an election campaign.
The EFF even promised to join forces with AfriForum to take government to court on this matter. The moment we never thought would happen in our lifetime is upon us.
He's the boer, he's the farmer. I thought it's English.
It is?
Yes.
And what does that mean?
It means kiss.
Kiss how?
Minister of Communications Mondli Gungubele was another who found his pen. He signed a decree that gave the SABC the power to go for former boss Claudio Motsoeneng and retrieve every cent he earned since he was appointed chief operating officer of the broadcaster before he was finally dismissed. The ANC has finally decided, belatedly and quite surprising, that Motsoeneng was never qualified for the job and should not have been appointed beyond the position of messenger. The letter was signed and immediately dispatched to Motsoeneng, who was on a campaign trail to give his African content movement yet another opportunity to lose this money at the polls. You can imagine his anger when he received the letter. He grew an inch taller than his minuscule 1.5 meters of height.
People are afraid of loud, but one day is one day I'm going to rule South Africa.
Quite the logic you'd expect from the organic intellectual. It is no secret that South Africa has been embarrassed by a series of fatal tragedies involving our troops sent on a peacekeeping mission in the Democratic Republic of the Congo. Although our government has sought to downplay these events, almost dismissing the death of our soldiers as non-events, it was clear that our continued stay in the Congo was fast becoming unsustainable. It was time the government withdrew from the mission or took steps, drastic steps, to send a stern message to those who are bent on sending our boys back in body bags. To that effect, the ANC's caucus on defense took a decision to empower the president in his capacity as commander-in-chief to give the middle finger back to the DRC and take over that country. Defense Minister Thandi Modise was the recipient of the instruction from the president. Known for her no-nonsense attitude to anything from pigs to opposition members, Modise was ready to take the marching orders and send our armed forces in.
So our role is to try and create space for the people of the different people of the DRC. Create space for them to come together, to find peace amongst themselves. And you cannot find peace if you are at each other's throats. So our role there is more about stabilizing, creating conditions where people can go back home, where children can go back to school, where women can farm their farmlands and create the food that they need.
Similarly enthusiastic was Minister of Public Service and Administration Nopolo Kivit. In what is clearly an electioneering stunt, Kivit used her pen to decree that the ANC would be getting rid of unqualified and underqualified public servants. Kivit, who herself is embroiled in a controversy of an illegitimate degree from the University of Fort Hare, said the ANC could no longer afford to have public servants that were not fit for purpose. It is not civil, she said.
Why do I want to be an official? And what kind of an official do I want to be? Before you venture into the public service, because the few bad officials create this environment that when the people look at government, they see this filthy organization of selfish people. So those few, we must have a way to deal with so that we remove them from debting the public service.
The Pope can dance. Unfortunately, but not unexpectedly, the ANC did not win in one last attempt to impress the electorate. Outgoing MP and Minister of Women, Children and People with Disabilities, Dr. Nkosazana Dlamini-Zuma, refused to open her pencil case when asked to sign into law a monthly grant for Nyaope addicts. She thought her own party was drunk with power and decried the fact that she was not consulted. This is not how the ANC she knows works, she protested. Even though she's lame duck, about to retreat to a neighborhood just outside Nkandla after May 29, she's a senior ANC leader and deserves more respect than just being commanded. And so she let Ramaphosa and his messengers know her displeasure.
We must be given an opportunity to debate this matter, all of us. You can't give instructions when you haven't debated. We all believe in democratic centralism, but democratic centralism is not for a few. It's for all of us. You debate the issues. And when you have debated the issues exhaustively, you come to a conclusion. And then everybody follows that conclusion. This didn't happen this time.
I guess, like elections, it is a case of you win some and you lose some for the ANC. Thank you for listening to this episode of Taking the Rams by the Horns. Please send your comments to me via email on rams@ramsmabote.com. Let me know what you think of the podcast. Please share your views of what other electioneering gimmicks the ANC can try. Download the My Sowetan app and listen to more of my podcasts. We are also on Spotify. Follow us on X at Rams by the Horns and at Sowetan Live. From me, Rams Mabote, with pen in hand, goodbye and God bless.